Hi, and welcome to the study of God's Word from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California.
Christmas carols. I believe the majority of the people love Christmas carols. But to me, the most disturbing and disheartening carol is "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day." You may remember the lyrics of Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, considered by many to be the greatest American poet that has ever lived. He penned these words a long time ago in 1863 when he wrote, "I heard the bells on Christmas Day, their old familiar carols play, and wild and sweet the words repeat of peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I thought how, as the day had come, the belfries of all Christendom had rolled along the unbroken song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, nor doth he sleep. The wrong shall fail, the right prevail, with peace on earth, goodwill to men. Till ringing, singing, on its way, the world revolved from night to day. A voice, a chime, a chant sublime of peace on earth, goodwill to men." Maybe you share his sentiment, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill toward men." Whatever happened to the peace that the angels promised the shepherds at the birth of Jesus? Luke chapter 2, verse 14. "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." Whatever happened to that promise? Alexander McLaren, the great Scottish preacher, in a sermon asked, "Why should there be a miraculous announcement at all? And why should it be to these shepherds? It seems to have had no effect beyond a narrow circle and for a time. It was apparently utterly forgotten when 30 years after the carpenter's son began his ministry. Could such an event have passed from memory and left no ripple on the surface? Does not the resultlessness cast suspicion on the truthfulness of this narrative?" End quote. Did the angels lie to the shepherds that night? Were their words just wishful thinking? Since the birth of Jesus, the peoples of the earth have experienced precious few days of peace. Peace from war, from disaster, from disease and famine and racial strife. Peace from religious conflict. It seems the birth of Jesus, which seems to be completely unproductive, is more akin to legend than truth. But because we believe in the birth of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and because we believe the words of the angels are genuine, we have a problem. Don't we? Or do we? Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 2. Stand with me as we read this account of the encounter of the angels with the shepherds. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This is the word of God. May he add his blessing to the reading of the word. You may be seated. I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to picture in your mind's eye this scene that is taking place. Oftentimes, we read the words of Scripture, but we do not imagine them in our mind. And so, they're just simply words rather than experiences. So, let's take just a moment, and I want you to go back with me to that night when the angels appeared and spoke to the shepherds, okay? So close your eyes and let's picture the scene. It's just another ordinary night in the fields around Bethlehem. Shepherds are out in the open air taking care of their sheep. It's the fall of the year, so there is a chill in the air. The men are gathered around a fire, talking about whatever it is that shepherds talk about. As they're talking, they're also watching, and they're also listening. And as they're talking and watching and listening, a stranger approaches them. They've never seen him before. Immediately, they're on red alert. Is he there to rob them? Is he there to kill them and take their sheep? "Don't be alarmed," he said. "I've come to tell you good news that will bring great joy to everyone who hears it. Today in Bethlehem, God's anointed Messiah was born. You'll know that this is true when you see the infant wrapped in cloth and lying in a hay trough." Then out of the darkness, a large crowd appears in brilliant white light. In one voice, they praise the Lord, saying, "Honor be to the Most High God, and on earth peace among men in whom he is well pleased." Quite a significant event. a wondrous event, a disturbing event, an event unlike anything they've ever experienced before. But again, we have a problem, don't we? Where is this peace? Where is this peace? You can open your eyes. I want us to consider two key elements in answering the question, where is the peace that the angels promised the night that Jesus Christ was born? And I want you to consider, first of all, the fruit of their praise. The fruit of their praise. And secondly, consider the root of their praise. First of all, the fruit of their praise. It's very evident as we read the text that the fruit of their praise is peace. Peace on earth. Peace to men of whom God is well pleased. Peace is the fruit of their praise. The angels rejoiced because the birth of Jesus Christ signaled the fulfillment of God's judgment announced to Satan in the Garden of Eden. You remember his words to the tempter. He told him, there will be war between you and mankind, between your descendants, and the woman's descendants. He, speaking of a specific descendant of the woman, he will destroy you, though you will only temporarily injure him. In theology, this is called the Proto-Evangelium. It is the first declaration of the gospel given to mankind. And that gospel is the promise of God that Jesus Christ will defeat Satan and thereby provide salvation for mankind. That promise was reiterated in Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7, a passage that Pastor Chris read at the beginning of the worship service. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, where the prophet said, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Upon the throne of David and over his kingdom to order and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward, even forever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this." But I ask again, where is this peace? Things are in such a tumultuous state nowadays, are they not? Are you sick and tired of listening to the news? Are you sick and tired of the wrangling and the wrestling that's going on in our government? Are you tired of the racial divisions and strife? Are you tired of the ups and downs of the economic situation in our country? Are you tired of the wars and the rumors of wars that are plaguing this planet? I read this passage of Scripture. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders." If he were born today and the government were upon his shoulders, they'd seek to impeach him. There is no peace. And that's what Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, the great poet, wrote over 100 years ago. And he wrestled striving to find peace in his own life. Born in a fairly well-to-do family. Very intelligent. Highly educated. Became professor of literature at Harvard at a very young age. First wife died in childbirth. Second wife died from an accidental fire in their home. A man certainly well acquainted with grief. And in despair, I bowed my head. "There is no peace on earth," he said. The salvation the Prince of Peace brought to mankind, this peace, this salvation that he brought, was not only to affect those here who would be subject to his ministry and those that come after that generation, but it reaches all the way to heaven. Because the Apostle Paul wrote in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ." So where is this peace? We need to first of all understand what the angels were really talking about when they said, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill to men." In the English, the word peace often refers to the absence of civil disturbance and conflict. When we think of peace, that's quite often what we think about. The end of war, the end of conflict, the end of the rioting, the end of the wrangling and the fighting and the fussing and the fuming. Peace is the absence of conflict. It also speaks of being free from strife and anxiety and aggravation. I've often spoke of my grandmother, my father's mother. I think back in all the years that I knew her, I don't ever recall that she ever had any peace in her spirit. She worried about everything. And when she didn't have something to worry about, she worried about that. All of us experience trouble, anxiety, conflict. Our spirit is quite often disturbed by not only what we experience, but by what we see and what we hear in our world. Are we not? Where is the peace? Certainly the angels weren't speaking of this, because there hasn't been a moment's peace since the birth of Jesus. Even he himself was the victim of the absence of peace, because he was hated by those who should have loved him and accepted him. He was condemned to die by those who should have honored and worshipped him. He was put on a cross by those who despised him and rejected him. So this peace was not the peace the angels were talking about. Well, these are Hebrew people, Hebrew shepherds. And so they are probably familiar with the Hebrew language, even though most of them spoke the Greek, because that was the predominant language in that day and time. But I'm sure they were familiar with the word shalom. Are you familiar with the word shalom? Do you know what shalom means? The story goes, or the joke goes, that the Hebrew word shalom means hello or welcome. But the word shalom can also mean goodbye. And so the question is asked, well, how do I know when meeting a Hebrew speaking person and I greet them with shalom, how do I know if I've said hello or goodbye? If they leave, you've said goodbye. Shalom. Glenn Schaefer, an Old Testament scholar, writes that peace, the idea of peace contained in the word shalom, can mean or can be understood in four different ways. First of all, it can be understood as the wholeness of life. The wholeness of life or the body. In other words, it is a word that conveys the blessing of health. By saying shalom, you're basically saying, may you experience good health. May you have wholeness in life. Secondly, it can be understood as a right relationship or harmony between two people, often established through a covenant agreement. When two people are walking together as friends, they're experiencing shalom. They're experiencing a relationship that is harmonious. They're experiencing peace between themselves. Thirdly, it can be understood as prosperity or success or fulfillment. When you greet someone with the word shalom, or when someone leaves under the blessing of shalom, you're basically saying, may you prosper and may you be successful in life or in business. And then finally, it can be understood as success over one's enemies or the absence of war or conflict. So the Hebrew word shalom, wholeness of life, a right relationship between people, prosperity and success, or victory over one's enemies. I don't think the angels were speaking this kind of peace to the shepherds. They were living in a territory occupied by their enemies, the Romans. They were under heavy burdens by the Romans, taxes and laws that were alien to them, that did not respect their worship of God, that did not honor their customs, their culture as Hebrew people. I do not think that the angels were speaking the word shalom to these shepherds. In the New Testament, the Greek word for peace is eirene. Eirene. Literally, it means to join or to bind together what has been broken, divided, or separated. It means literally to join or to bind together that which has been broken, divided, or separated. Now, oftentimes when you hear that kind of a definition, you think of a broken bone. Joining the two bones together, or the one bone that's been broken in two, joining it together, binding it together so that it can heal, so that it can become one again. But the Greek word eirene speaks of relationships. The binding together of individuals who have been separated because of issues, problems, disagreements, so on and so forth. The idea here is when people are joined together as they should be, there is the sense of harmony and well-being and freedom from inner turmoil. The word eirene does not necessarily speak of what's going on externally in the world around you as much as it speaks of what's going on internally within you. There is an inner quietness of mind and spirit and heart despite the conflict and the chaos that goes on all around you. And that's the word that the angels spoke to these shepherds. Glory to God in the highest, peace on earth toward those whom God is well pleased. The angels were not lying to the shepherds, and it was not a declaration of wishful thinking. The angels were conveying to these shepherds that in Bethlehem, in the city of David, God's anointed Messiah has been born. And because of his birth, because of his presence, there can now be within the heart, the spirit, and the mind of those who embrace him an inner peace, a quietness, a tranquility, despite being overrun by the Romans, despite being abused by other individuals, despite your poverty, despite the cold weather, despite that you are shepherds and on the low rung of the social ladder in Hebrew society, despite all of the problems and all of the ills and all of the concerns and all of the issues that you face, through Jesus Christ, the Messiah of God, you can experience genuine peace. More than English peace, more than Hebrew shalom, what the angels announced to the shepherds would come through Jesus Christ is a state of serenity, a state of well-being, a state of harmony within each person and among the people who've experienced this same peace through Jesus Christ. But, and there always is a but, right? This peace doesn't come to us naked. This peace does not stand alone. It is the fruit of the praise of the angels that night. But that fruit is the result of a root that few people are willing to plant in their heart, in their mind, or in their spirit. Look again at the words of the angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The fruit of their praise is peace, but the root of their praise is to glorify the Lord God. You cannot have one without the other. You will not know peace until there is the honoring of God in your heart and in your life. The peace that Jesus Christ brings is not the peace that the earth, the world, the peoples of the earth long for, want, and try desperately to achieve in their own power and in their own might. The peace that they desperately need is the peace that only Jesus Christ can bring. And he came, wrapped in human flesh, to bring us that peace. The root of praising and glorifying God results in the fruit of inner peace, inner serenity. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. You will keep him, listen to these, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon you. Peace comes, according to Isaiah, when the mind is fixed upon the Lord. Psalm verse 85 and verse 10. Mercy and truth have met together, righteousness and peace have kissed. Can't have peace without righteousness. Isaiah 32 verse 17. The work of righteousness will be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever. Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. This peace that the angels proclaimed at the birth of Christ does not stand alone. It comes with the Prince of Peace. It comes with the one who left the courts of heaven and came to a troubled and self-destroying world, to a people who have hard hearts and stiff necks toward God, to individuals whose minds and hearts and thoughts are always focused on agitation, anxiety, people who are corrupted by sin, people who are destroying themselves in their struggle for power, for fame, for fortune. He came into a world that was mad, and he brought that world peace. In my lifetime, there have been many events, situations and circumstances that have robbed people and nations of peace. Try as we might, with all we can say or do, we have a 100% failure rate in securing and keeping peace. A 100% failure rate in securing and keeping peace. I don't know, maybe because I'm much older now and you know, my eyes have been opened to so many things and I've experienced so many things. When I see or I hear our politicos meeting together and with heads of state from other countries, and they're sitting at a table and they're signing a document and they're shaking hands and they're grinning that funky grin as they're having their pictures taken, and the announcement is, there's now peace between these peoples. I'm sorry, but in the back of my mind, I say, yeah, right. Sure. What's it going to cost us this time? I hate being that way. I don't like being that way. But I think my spirit has come to the place where people don't really understand what peace is. And I believe that's true because in the minds of most people, peace can be brokered, it can be bought. But in reality, peace cannot be brokered, peace cannot be bought. It can only be received when one receives the Prince of Peace. And the world will never know peace until the people of the world know peace. And the people of the world will never know peace until each and every one of us knows the Prince of Peace. That was the announcement of the angels to the shepherds that night so long ago. Glory to God in the highest. When you glorify God in your heart, in your mind, in your spirit, as Brother Greg was saying a while ago, no matter what your circumstances are, Romans chapter 8. When you glorify God in the good as well as in the bad, when you glorify God in the ups as well as in the downs, when you glorify God in the advancements as well as in the setbacks, when you give the Lord honor and praise that is rightfully His, no matter what your circumstances may be, you know what? You will have peace. You will have peace. I'm reminded of the Apostle Paul. Practically everywhere he went, people hated him. Practically everywhere he went, they ran him out of town. He was only there to help them by opening their eyes up to the truth of the Messiah that had come. The Messiah that God had promised had come in the person of Jesus Christ. And he wanted so desperately for his people to know that they no longer had to wait for the Messiah. He has appeared in Jesus Christ, and they can embrace him, and they can know the joy of forgiveness and the joy of salvation that only he could provide. And what did they do? They would run him out of town. They would stone him. They would throw him in jail. And what did Paul do? He started singing hymns. He glorified the Lord. In prison, he would lift up his voice in praise to the Christ of his salvation. He was a missionary to a troubled world, and that troubled world often affected him very negatively. And when most of us would quit, give up, and go back home, he continued on. Why? Because he knew where his peace came from. His peace did not come from people who would accept him, from people who would honor him, from people who would admire him, from people who would lift him up and praise him. His peace came from the Lord Jesus Christ, whom he honored, whom he lifted up, whom he gave the praise. And so now, the angels spoke to these shepherds, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Do you know that peace today? I know there's a lot of things in our world that trouble you. I know are things there in your family that burden you down. I know there are probably things at work that cause you distress. Your balance in the bank may not necessarily let you sleep well at night. Certainly the political situation that we're living in, even here in California, is enough to make a Mexican hairless dog lose what little hair he has. But do you have peace? Are you looking for peace? Do you long for peace? Is your heart's desire for peace? Then know the Prince of Peace. The angels praised God for sending his Son, whose sole purpose was to give us peace with God and peace with each other. Stand with me. David's going to come and we're going to sing a song. Pastor Chris is going to stand with me here at the altar. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed as the instrumentalists begin to play. God has provided for you something that your spirit desperately longs.
The Bible says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. If you've never trusted in Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, we invite you to call on him now and through a simple prayer of faith, give your life to him. If you're not attending a church that honors the Bible as the Word of God, we encourage you to locate and begin attending such a church in the area where you live. The message you have just heard was preached from the pulpit of First Baptist Church, Winton, California. For more information on the ministry of First Baptist Church, Winton, please visit our website at wintonchurch.org.